Yeah, this is going to be part preach, part testimony, and quite possibly, I already said to Esther, like the messiest sort of talk you've ever heard, because I kind of went to sleep with, like, I'm recovering from a bit of a cold, went to sleep with my eyes sort of streaming, woke up eyes streaming, and I just was praying, like, Lord, just, I'm not even trying to cry and I'm already crying, and I felt like he was just going, just let them flow. So if I do cry, that's normal, it's my everyday experience, and hopefully you'll see beyond that and actually hear the words, and that's just, yeah, if it was an Olympic sport, I'd definitely be a gold medalist at crying. So, yeah, and I've got two loo rolls ready, one for each eye, because they do work quite nicely. Yeah, so my talk today, hopefully the next slide, is Wonderful Counselor. And this kind of passage, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's in Isaiah. And this passage we're really used to seeing, and it's very familiar, obviously, at Christmas time. And I think for years and years, I've just kind of rolled off those lines, just been kind of very, kind of not really reached the kind of awareness of the significance until probably when I've been through my hardest times, more kind of in the last, well, not the hardest times, when does that start, when does it end? But kind of definitely in the last kind of 5-10 years, I've just come to know this is almost like a process of praying and coming before God. And I was kind of sharing that with Esther and Emily, actually. And they're like, you should say this. So that's why I'm here. So slightly scared and very much feeling like the kind of child bringing their fish and their loaves before God at the moment, as opposed to feeling fully kind of, word of the words. But yes, so I kind of, hopefully today, you'll kind of really, yeah, get a real richness for each of those words. So Isaiah spoke this passage, and it was like 2,500 years ago from now, before Jesus was born, he was given the prophecies. And at the time, the enemies were the Assyrians to the north, and he was sharing with the people. It's very much like lots of obviously bad stuff and judgment coming, but also his message was very, Jesus is coming. And although he didn't sort of exactly what he did say, kind of that. So a child will be born, and you can see the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased its joy. The people rejoice before you as they rejoice at harvest time, as men rejoice in dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian, you have shattered the yoke of their burden, the bar across their shoulders and the rod of their oppressor. For every trampling boot of the battle and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So he very much was sharing that the Messiah was going to be coming. And I don't think, when it says he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, that's the bit I'm going to be focusing on today. And just, I've really felt like that is in that order for a purpose and a reason, especially when we come to God as our counselor. So I'm going to just break down each of those parts as I go through the talk this morning and just share what kind of that looks like for us. And for how we can apply that really in our lives. So if you could do the next sort of slide. So yeah, Wonderful Counselor. And again, in some passages it says wonderful and then a comma and then counselor, and it's sort of, that's very different from Wonderful Counselor. So I was kind of exploring that a little bit, but again, feeling that to know that on, you could go into so many levels. So I kind of started off with thinking, like, what does a counselor do? And what do we do when we're with a counselor? So usually it's, for me, it's very much like crying. It's like pouring out my soul. It's sometimes just being there crying, and the counselor is just kind of just there listening, and it kind of hearing all that you say. And there's so many verses in the Bible that just are examples of crying out to God, and we're completely given permission just to be completely real. Like there's nothing that, like, is hidden. It's kind of like that. Actually, the more real we can be, the better, really. And we've got in like Psalms again. It's kind of full of that really gut-wrenching brokenness that people are just crying out to God and just saying ah kind of thing. And for me, I know that like the passage where in Samuel where Hannah is coming before God and she's just broken. She cannot have a baby. She's kind of taunted every time that she goes to the house of God, and she's feeling like just so broken. And in her sadness, like her husband said, "Oh, Hannah, why are you crying? Why aren't you eating? And why are you so upset? Am I not more than you to than 10 sons?" So she kind of, it says like she pulled herself together and slipped away quietly and entered the sanctuary. And there again, her soul was crushed in soul. Hannah prayed to God and cried inconsolably. And she was seen by Eli, who was watching her. And Eli was praying, Hannah was praying in her heart silently. Her lips moved, but no sound was heard. Eli jumped to the conclusion that she was drunk. He approached her and said, "You're drunk. How long do you plan to keep this up? Sober up, woman." And Hannah said, "Oh, no, sir, please. I'm a woman, brokenhearted. I haven't been drinking, not a drop of wine or beer. The only thing I've been pouring out is my heart, pouring it out to God." And I just think that when I just read that, just makes me always cry, because I just think, how broken must she have been to be thought of as being drunk? And again, for us as people, when I felt my most upset, it kind of just makes you think, actually, like, that realness, and she's just gone purposely before God to just be completely broken. She's like, "I've just put the only thing I'm pouring out is my tears and my soul to God." And that really, as a kind of person that just struggles with emotion and feelings, and life is just hard. And I think it's not put on a brave face. I know the men in that kind of passage are kind of like, sober up a bit and kind of pull yourself together. But actually, God's just there going, he just wants to hear us. He wants to know how we're feeling. And again, Job, you just hear thing after thing that he goes through and the suffering and the pain that is inflicted upon him. And he's just kind of, God is just there for him and just says to him, "Where were you when all these things sort of happened, when I sort of filled the storehouses of snow?" He kind of says that he's in control and he's bigger than all those things. And in Psalms, "Hear my cry, hear me as I pray, O Lord, be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, am I coming?" And I think that's a challenge when we're struggling and we're just kind of taking it before God. He's just saying, come and talk with me. And though our hearts respond, "Yeah, Lord, I'm coming." And I think coming before him, where it says in that passage, "Wonderful counselor," he is our wonderful counselor. We can just take it all to him. We can just be real with him. Again, Philippians, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And I know there's lots of verses, but you kind of could go deeper and deeper in millions of directions. But all of it is coming back to just going before God and just giving it over to him and just being real with him and crying and sometimes just sitting at his feet, laying it all before him, really. Next slide, please. And then the second part of that kind of verse. So not only is he a wonderful counselor that we can go before and just be real with and share it all with, he's also Almighty God. And Almighty, that is the adjective, is having complete power. So he's completely omnipotent over everything, is in his control and in his hands. And one of the things I've found that this is a page from, one of the things I like doing is kind of journaling. So it's kind of a little bit like, I find it easier when I'm sort of praying almost to write it down. So it's kind of like praying those thoughts. Verses will come into my head or in what I'm reading and I'll just then write them down. And one of the pages that I keep coming back to is this one, because I did it. And again, Jesus, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting father, Prince of Peace. And I find it amazing how we're kind of going before the Almighty God. Like, not only is he a wonderful counselor, but he is mighty over everything. And I so wish that I knew kind of Hebrew and Greek and could understand those deeper levels of where God is kind of we have in our Bible, it just says God or Lord or Lord, whereas the Hebrew kind of, it does have him as being like, the Lord will provide, the Lord is my banner, the Lord who heals, the Lord is there. All of those aspects of God, if we're coming before him broken in our kind of rawness, and we're just looking to him and going, wow, you are almighty God. We cannot understand everything. It blows our mind. He blows our mind with how much wellness and the awe that we can have by looking kind of towards him in our pain and suffering. But I've just found really coming back, and after that kind of splurgy, cryy mess bit that you kind of get out with, just being able to just go, Lord, I need to remember who you are right now. I need to come before you and look to you, who is the author and perfecter of everything, who is my maker, who died for me, who's all these things. I need to come and just remember that, because we're used to, I know that one of the things I make doing the artist stuff that I talk about last time is these like little clay, like pebbles, they're pocket ones that people just put in their pocket. And my most popular ones are the ones that say things like, you are amazing, or you've got this, and you're brilliant. And that's not a bad thing. That's all really positive stuff to say to people. But I think if God was to give out pebbles, he would just be saying, I am who I am. And I just love the fact he doesn't put it on me. Like when I was preparing for this, thinking I am so out of my depth in many ways, he doesn't go, it's not about you, Emma, actually, it's about me. He uses the brokenness, he uses our rawness, our weakness. He's close to those things, and that's where he chooses those people to kind of shine through. So I think he would just be going like, I am, just take that around with you, know that all the things you stand on are me. It's not about you being strong enough or you having the resources. I am enough. I am the resources. I've got this. And I've found that time and time again, coming to him and just, yeah, crying it all out, and then just going, yeah, Lord, it's not about me. There's not one bit about me in this. It's about you being greater than the situation, than the problem, than how I'm feeling. And that is a real freeing thing, to really just know that he's got you, got it. Because every other thing that says you're amazing, it still leaves a little bit on you to do something. Whereas God's like, actually, I am going to shine through you. I am going to use you. You're my vessel that I am going to be kind of using, really. And I just love that. I found sort of a couple of things, especially this one at the bottom, where all these kind of words in the Hebrew, and it just, I am, comes through all of it. And he just says that so firmly. And again, with this passage, but it is about Jesus. That's what Isaiah is sort of foretelling. Jesus is coming. And I love that Jesus comes and he repeats that I am. He says that seven more times. And we know like seven is that kind of perfect kind of number. It's the fullness and the completion. And he says like, I am the way, the truth and life. I am the bread. I am the kind of light of the world. I am the door. He gives all these I ams and just reinforces that he is that person that Isaiah prophesied would come ahead of him. Next slide, please. So again, another bit is Everlasting Father. And I've put, what does that mean to you? Because for me, I think of Father and I struggle, because I think of words like rejection and abandonment and selfishness, and it's really hard when we have lots of things that especially in church, that come to about Father. And because my dad left his four children and went off with somebody, so for me that kind of, it's always a struggle. But I have to think of, actually, where do I see really good examples of fatherhood, and where do I see God as Father? And remember that I'm not saying Father is in my dad. I'm saying Father is in our God above us. And we are adopted in his family. He has chosen us. And that just, again, blows my mind. And I look to like my brothers who are just great fathers. And I think of when I hear like Nigel's taking his daughter to Crawley and as a like protector. And I think that is what a good dad does. You know, that is brilliant. And I hear about Mark and how he's kind of taking his daughter shopping. I think, oh wow, that's another good example of a father that I've not necessarily had, but I look to sort of those good examples and think, wow, and even those amazing men are still earthly men. They are not God. And coming to him as our kind of everlasting father, remembering all of that, again, kind of, yeah, just blows my mind, because it's father in the perfect sense. And also, like, guiding us and discipline. And when we're kind of, sometimes when we're just struggling and going, Lord, I don't get this. This is too much for me. He knows in a way that we can never know. And that bit everlasting, I always think of that as being like continuation of, whereas when I was sort of looking at the dictionary definition, it was saying, as in God, it means no beginning and no end. It's like everlasting in that kind of always sense. And then I saw that, I didn't realise that the rainbow is that complete circle, but because we're on Earth, we always see it as that arch. Whereas if you're looking at it from above, and I just thought that really gave me a better picture and understanding of, we only see in part, really, what is, God has a whole picture. He's got that hope and that promise over us is literally no beginning, no end. It's like a full circle, whereas we're on Earth and we can only see that part arch and that kind of part colour. And again, that kind of seven colours all comes back to being that perfect kind of completion, really. And this little picture, this is my niece Molly, and I had to put it up there because it's the moment at which in COVID times when we couldn't do loads of things, and she'd always asked my brother Tom, can I go to the park, daddy, can I go to the park? And she wanted to go to the park so desperately, and it was when the parks were all closed, and Tom just had to say to her, no, Molly, you can't, not yet. And she just didn't understand. She couldn't understand. She's like two at that point. And then this was a day, like, we met with my other brother and his sons, me and like her family. And like, she said, oh, daddy, are we going to the park? And he said, yes. And that was the moment he just said, yes. And she just literally could have exploded with delight. And I just want to be like that. When we're kind of going, oh, we don't understand, we're saying, daddy, can we do this? Can we do this? Or can we have this? Or can we know this? And I want to be there at the moment that he goes, yes. And for many of us, I think we won't know lots of answers to our, like, laments and our struggles. Like, it's too much for us to really know, and we're on Earth, we kind of won't have that complete picture yet. But I just want to be in that place where I can go, oh, everlasting Father, and just absolutely be blown away by his goodness and his glory and all that he does, however kind of painful it feels. It's drawing us to him. It's a closeness to him. And I just love as that whole father bit, seeing how a child is with the dad, and when the dad's sort of making decisions and in love choosing the best as best as they can at that time, just reveals so much to us about God. But again, he's even more perfect than any earthly father. Next slide, please. And again, that last bit where it says, and Prince of Peace, and in him we can know that perfect peace. So again, as I was sort of talking about the whole kind of using that as a journal kind of passage and a kind of study and time with God, being able to come before him, lay it all at him, say Almighty God, and then being able to know him as everlasting Father. So not only is he God over it all, he actually absolutely loves us so much that he kind of, and Prince of Peace, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to reconnect us with our Creator. And that deep, it talks about like that deep abiding peace of knowing our Creator, of having the Holy Spirit as helper who promises to guide us. And again, that's something that for us as Christians after Jesus, so when Isaiah spoke about, yep, Jesus is coming, this baby will be born to you, we can know that baby in a richer sense because Jesus has been, he's died, he's risen again. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And that peace, like you've got here, like the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patientness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it does not mean easy. Peaceful does not necessarily mean easy. But there's about a trust and a resting on God as I am, that in doing that, when you've just kind of blubbed it all out, you've laid it all before him, you've known who he is as God, author of everything and over everything, he loves you, he's got you as a father that's everlasting, to know that resting on him as the great I am, to know that that peace is, again, a richer sense. And there's been times where I've put the bit of the prodigal son and the other son in there just because I know that that, again, could be sort of something else separate in a bit of a tangent. But I've chatted to people. I've always kind of known, I grew up in a Christian family. So for me, I've kind of always had felt kind of close to God in a way, whereas I've spoken to friends who have come to know him later and they're like, there is something about the peace of God that they have found, and it's been like a more of a sudden thing for them because they've been away from God to then suddenly know that peace that comes from him. And when I've sort of trying to get my head around it and sometimes feel a bit like maybe the other son in that, and I was one night sort of just praying to God and just sort of struggling through issues, and I was just told, like, remember what did I say to the other son? And the bit where it just says, son, you are always with me, the father said, and all that I have, all that is mine is yours. It just made me I just cried because I was like, oh, like, I feel like I'm always grumpy with you, Lord. All these things that I'm always saying that I'm struggling with. And you just have just said to me, like, remember, I am always with, you know, he's always with me. And there is a deeper level peace that I kind of take for granted. And I don't really always fully appreciate what, like, it's like on the other side of in the world when you haven't got God in your life. And I've seen that sometimes in friendships, in a way that, like, within, like, church relationships, there's a deeper level trust and understanding that other friends, when I've sort of found with them, it's kind of like, you're like, oh wow, there's just things that, again, it's kind of like a taken for granted richness that we have as brothers and sisters, really, in Christ, as much as it is about in friendship. So yeah, I think whether it's you've known God forever or feel like it's been forever, or more of a recentness, we all can know that that Prince of Peace over us. We can all know that deepness and that richness of him in love with what, you know, over us, really. Next one, please. Yeah, so in summary, I just hope that, yeah, there's a rich understanding of this kind of Christmas message. So I was talking to Esther and we were just saying, yeah, it's not just for Christmas. I think that kind of, we just rattle off I have been guilty of just rattling off these lines, but I really believe that, like, that wonderful counsellor, if we recognise that we can just, in any situation, just come before him and just know that he's ready to listen. He sees us, he hears us, he loves us, he knows us, he wants the best for us and for him to be glorified in whatever situation we're going through. So approaching him as counselor sort of first, recognizing that he's all these things, he's mighty God, he's got it all. Even before we breathe a breath of air about how we're feeling, he's got it, he knows it, and he's all those things. And then that not only is he all those things, but he absolutely loves you as an everlasting father. There's no beginning, no end to his love over you. And then in that kind of process, I reach the point of just feeling that, just basking in the revelation of just feeling love. And at the end of that passage where Hannah was crying and just sharing, and they thought that she was drunk, Eli answered her, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel give you what you have asked for of him." And then it says, "Think well of me and pray for me." And she said, and went on her way. Then she ate heartily and her face was radiant. And I just think, again, it's that, oh, I'm ready to eat now. I'm ready to kind of just, I feel that peace. And her face was radiant. And I think how lovely that we can just almost work through that process of prayer and crying and lamenting, to then know all these things about God, to then know how much we're loved, and then to know that peace that we can like leave being radiant. And that's what I want to be in all those struggles. So where we are now to Isaiah, again, we are in that brokenness of world. Like, there's so much pain and there's so much suffering that's going on now because we haven't got the kind of full completion of the second coming yet. We're kind of in that next phase where God is kind of over everything, but there's also evil and all sorts going on, that we kind of look to him to in the light in those situations. So hopefully that is my bit, but hopefully you all look at this verse and just yeah, hopefully it'll help you in maybe different things. And I was looking at the bit about knowing God more. I've read this before and I didn't get a chance to read it all again, but books like Incomparable by Andrew Wilson are just so good for kind of really revisiting who God is and each of those sort of names over him, and any book really on just getting to know God better, because it's not about you getting to know you, well, it's getting to know you better, but actually it's looking to God. It's looking to God in the struggles, looking to God in the whatever situation, and really feeling like he's got it. So I just want to pray for everybody here right now. Yeah, Father, I thank you that we can just come before you, Lord. I thank you that in our brokenness, in our weakness, in the things that we are lacking, Lord, that you are over it all, Lord, that you just want us to come before you. You know it anyway, but just the process of telling you is a way of healing, and the process of just being before you and worshipping and just sharing is a way of just, all the things you want from us. And yeah, I just thank you that you are all these things, Lord, that you give us, we have all these names for you that we can come and just rest on and know that you are the great I am, that you are greater than anything we can face. You've got it all. And I just pray that you would just fill this room with your peace, that people would just, know you more intimately and richly than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.